What's up? Good evening. Welcome. You are listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. We are excited to be back with you tonight after a week off. Missed a week last week, man. I felt horrible about it, but felt even more horrible for the fact that that I caught the COVID. We missed last week because caught COVID-19. Went to West Texas with the guest of the show 2 weeks ago, Todd, and Todd and I both caught COVID, and we both brought it back home and started feeling like shit on Monday night, and then that was it. Was in no condition to do a podcast on Wednesday. But we have recovered. Taking the Over is back. I didn't get to tell you that we went 1-3 the week that I caught COVID. And we're now at 20-12 on season since we started doing picks on the show. And I'm very excited to have with us a special guest tonight. Very good friend of mine. Known this guy for about 20 years. We've been in the same fantasy football league for 20 years, which is pretty rare. You don't typically stay in the same fantasy football league with folks for that long. But he's a longtime friend, and he's also my brother in COVID, in that he caught COVID the same time at the same place in the same event. So give a big Taking the Over welcome to Troy. What's up, Troy? How you doing, man?
Hey, Mr. Gunn. Thanks for having me.
Oh, dude, yeah. Anytime. I'm excited. This is the coolest thing about this show, is that I just get to hang out and talk to my friends and have fun, and then we get to talk about gambling and all. How are you feeling? You caught COVID the same time I did. We caught it at the same thing, and so we're kind of like Eskimo brothers, have had relations with the same woman. We're some kind of weird COVID brothers. We got the same strain of COVID at the same time. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it brings you together, right?
Nothing like
disease amongst friends.
Disease amongst friends unites.
Yeah, I've got minimum symptoms, cold symptoms mainly, kind of achy. But it's not very fun when you're homeless from hurricanes. So I've.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that this afternoon. You've had a rough go here these last couple months. Hurricane Laura made you homeless. It destroyed your home and whatnot, and then you caught COVID. So you've had a run of bad luck here lately. But don't worry. Now you're wagering on sports with me.
Wow.
Thanks. Yeah, your luck's about to stay the same, dude. Your luck is not about to improve.
Yeah, but I'm looking for a distraction. If you can give me a distraction, then
that's what it's all about. We're trying to distract from a lot of things. Yeah. Right. We're trying to distract from a lot of things. No, we've been fortunate. I like you. My symptoms have been pretty minimal. A little achy, kind of like feverish, minus the fever. Although I will just randomly get headaches now, even though it's kind of out of my system. And that part pisses me off. And so I want vengeance against the Chinese. I want blood, but I don't think we're gonna get it. So I'll just take some Tylenol and some vitamin D and go on my way. But talking about distractions, last night was election night in America.
Here?
And oh my God.
That was here?
Yes, here. Oh. Yeah, well, you know, we've got an international audience, so we have to clarify where these elections take place.
Sure.
And yeah, and we had election night in America, and I don't want to talk about the presidential aspect of that, but we have a lot of listeners in Louisiana. We're New Orleans Saints fan network that we're on, and we had some pretty exciting news specifically for gamblers in the state of Louisiana. Legalized sports gambling was on the ballot, and it looks like it was a parish by parish vote. So each parish, or as we call them parishes, and the rest of the world knows them as counties. Each parish got to vote on sports gambling, and just about every parish passed it. So at some point in the next few years, if the Louisiana legislature can get their heads out their asses, all of our listeners that are in Louisiana will have access to legal sports gambling. How exciting is that? And Troy, did it pass in your parish where you're living?
Well, it didn't. It wasn't in our parish, so Kakushi wasn't included in the list.
What?
When I double checked, yeah, which is odd.
That's
because we have casinos there, and that's about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
We have chemical plants and casinos. So if anywhere, we should be.
You didn't even get the option to choose.
Right, and they draw a lot of commerce from the Houston area.
So oh yeah,
there's so much business.
Yeah, that's pretty typical. It was a pretty cool night for elections. We had, you know, sports gambling passed in the nearest parish to me, which would be St. Tammany Parish. And now it's going to be in the hands of the state legislature. And who knows what's going to happen next with that. But the other cool thing, I'm actually a resident of Mississippi and have been a resident of Mississippi for just over three and a half months now. And
that progressive Mississippi,
very progressive Mississippi. we legalized, we approved in overwhelming fashion, despite the fact that there was all these confusing things on the ballot to try and keep it from happening. We approved some pretty staunch medical marijuana for the future in Mississippi. So I'm feeling pretty good about my choice to move to Mississippi. Of course, we've already got sports gambling here, and now we have legitimate medical marijuana coming, and you're supposed to have some type of debilitating condition. And now that I've had COVID, I mean, if that doesn't qualify as a debilitating condition, I feel like things are just looking up, and I feel like things are getting a lot better. And you know, we can only go up from here. Now, we got a really impressive slate of games this week, Troy. So, are you ready to jump into them here?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. We're just going to run through the schedule and what you're going to see. I'll ask you, and Troy. Now, where do you stand as far as sports gambling goes? Would you consider yourself to be?
I'm a complete gambler? Novice. No. So, I've done very minimal sports gambling, a little bit in Delaware on a trip.
Okay.
To a casino there, and then a little bit from a boat casino out of Port Canaveral, Florida.
Oh, they that's cool.
Take you out, you know, 4 miles from shore, and then you can start gambling. That is all the sports gambling I've ever done.
They take you out to international waters and let you bet that's a little bit on a boat, then bring you back in. Well, that sounds like fun. I'll tell you what's cool. This is something else that happened in the week that we had off. The week prior to the big catastrophe week when I went 1-5 with my picks on the show, apparently word got out, and you know that you've had a really disastrous week of gambling when your old bookie that you haven't talked to for like 15 months cold calls you out of the blue. That's
just
what happened.
See how you're doing.
Yeah, just to see how you're doing. My old bookie, who I hadn't talked to in like 15 months, called me out of the blue, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing, son? Heard you putting a little money on some games now." And so I reunited with Uncle. Well, we're going to use an alias for him. We're going to call him Uncle T-Bone. Reunited with my great Uncle T-Bone, and what's cool there is that I do have access now to some in-game betting and some pretty cool player props, like very much like you would see out of FanDuel and some of those other sites. So it was great. And the old bookie of mine, we're going to call him again Uncle T-Bone. Great Uncle T-Bone wants to come on the podcast in future weeks.
Ooh, that'd be good.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And this dude is awesome. Yeah. He's one of the coolest human beings I've ever met in my entire life. And he's got like 30. He's been a bookie, I think, since like the 80s. So he has got some pretty cool stuff to talk about, and also a background in broadcasting, ironically enough, and called me out of the blue because you know you're doing bad when your old bookie cold calls you. He heard through the grapevine that you were playing like shit and wants you to come back and bet with him. So all good things, all positive is happening in the world here at Billy Gunn. So we're going to get started with this week's games. Starting out, the Thursday night game is actually not going to be a dog shit Thursday night game this week. Thursday night game is going to be the Green Bay Packers on the road taking on San Francisco 49ers in a Thursday night game. This game opened When it first showed up on the sports line, it was as a pick'em, meaning there was no line of it. You just choose the winner up or down. There's no point spread available. But San Francisco has since endured quite a bit of injuries, and they are now
COVID, right?
There's COVID. There's high ankle sprains. There's COVID. They shut down their facility today due to COVID. They lost George Kittle on Sunday of last week. Garoppolo is still dealing with the high ankle sprain, and so as a result, that line is now through William Hill, which is going to be the most predominant sports book out there internationally, and who we're going to quote from a lot this week. William Hill now has this as a Green Bay minus six with a 49.5 over under. Troy, what are your thoughts on Green Bay taking on an injury decimated San Francisco?
Just from the gut, I like Green Bay in this. I watched the game last week with Minnesota. It was a kind of a devastating loss. It was fun for all the Green Bay haters like myself to see Aaron Rodgers get smacked. So I don't know what his record is after a loss like that.
But, yeah.
I'm guessing they're going to be on a tear. So I like Green Bay in this.
They've been up and down, you know.
I
some
know.
Weeks they
yeah.
come out and they look like world beaters, and they get their ass beat by not so great teams.
Yeah, like the Vikings. Yeah,
like the Vikings. Dalvin Cook really took advantage of them last week. San Francisco's got a lot of injuries too. So 6 points on the spread to Green Bay. You know that's
and they still have a good defense too.
They still have a good defense. Yeah. Green Bay is about as healthy as you're going to be this time of year. And San Francisco, you do not get much more injury depleted than San Francisco is right now. So you feel – would this be a game that you would be willing to wager on yourself?
I would.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And you're taking Green Bay minus six?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, it's a Thursday night game. I'm not going to touch it. Thursday night games are just a chaotic short week, a lot of stuff going on.
Sure.
I do want to say there's a lot of games this week that jump right off the page to me that I do want to get involved with, probably more so than a typical week. And I've developed a reputation over this last several weeks of this show of putting together some exotic bets at the end. Mm. We're not even going to do any crazy exotic shit. There's enough fun games out there that we can keep it real simple and just go straight up. Early game Sunday, Seattle travels to Buffalo to take on the Bills. This game opened with Seattle as a 2-point favorite. Seattle has since become a 3-point favorite. Over-under currently stands at 55 for Seattle versus Buffalo. Troy, what are your thoughts on Seattle-Buffalo?
This is a great matchup. I'm really looking forward to this. I hope I get to watch it. I'm not sure if it's going to be shown in my area, but I don't know how you could go against Seattle right now. They just look so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Russell Wilson to me is the MVP this year. I don't know.
Absolutely, Russell Wilson. We put some player prop futures on Russell 2 weeks ago, predicting that he's going to lead the NFL in yardage, and you could make a very, very, very good argument that he's also probably very good chance of being the MVP as well. Seattle scores a lot of points. They do not appear to be able to stop anybody. Buffalo,
right, they're what, first in offensive total yards and last I saw in defensive allowed.
Yes. Yards. Yeah, that's what you're going to get with the Seattle game. And then you've got Josh Allen who can throw it all over the park.
Who's
as
playing well.
Yeah. Yeah, and Buffalo's a team that stood out to me a lot this year. I've given them a lot of credit and it looks like they're playing really well. I will say this. This is a game that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's probably going to be one of the premier early games on Sunday. They have not, I believe, tomorrow they start to release exactly what the NFL coverage maps are going to look like for the week. We can also get you hooked up with some illegal streams to watch whatever game you want.
Sure.
But I'm going to stay away from this one too. from a wagering standpoint. This one will be a lot of fun to watch, but I don't know. You know, Seattle kind of let some folks down in the last couple of weeks, and so we'll see what happens there. Next early game, Denver on the road taking on Atlanta. Now, Denver had that walk-off last play come from behind victory over the Los Angeles Chargers. The Atlanta failed cons are one of the top three teams in the NFL. If you're betting with them, you're having no success. But if you're betting against them, you're having a lot of success. The line on this game opened with Atlanta -3, and it has since moved to Atlanta -4. And Denver in Atlanta opened at 47.5 on the over-under, and the over-under now stands at 50. Troy, what are your thoughts on Denver on the road to take on Atlanta?
Well, we talked about a lot of great games. This one just doesn't appeal to me at all. I think the idea of betting with Atlanta is always fun because it's a win-win for Saints fans. You either win your bet or your hated team loses.
That's true.
That's really the only reason I would bet on Atlanta here. Is just,
well, I feel this game jumps right off the page to me, and this game I'm very excited about, and I want to bet this game two different ways. I think Denver's got a lot of momentum coming off of their victory over the Chargers last week, and Philip Lindsay looks good, and the young quarterback looks good, and Atlanta as a 4-point favorite over anybody to me is insane. I like Denver +4. And I would feel very comfortable putting at least a unit on that. And I also like over 50 here as well. And if you bet against Atlanta, you've been having more success than not this year. And I don't think that changes this week. And sometimes these really shitty games to watch are some of the best games to bet on, you know. Right. But yeah. This is one that I'm going to jump all over, and I recommend taking two different ways. You can always attach those two bets. You could always do a parlay of Denver +4 and over 50. But this week, I want to advocate taking these bets in a very simple fashion and just approaching these individually. And so we'll go Denver +4. And we'll go to over 50 points on that because Atlanta can't stop anybody. And I was a little concerned.
Horrible
about
defense.
Yeah. Right. And I was a little concerned about Denver's ability to move the ball because, like, 2 weeks ago, all they did was kick field goals. But they came back last week, scored 31 points. It looks like they figured out how to move the ball in the second half. So, I don't know. I feel good about that over, too. Next early game, Chicago on the road taking on Tennessee. Tennessee opened as a 6.5-point favorite. That line has since moved to -6. It dropped a half point. So Tennessee's a 6-point favorite at home against the Chicago Bears. The over-under on this game is 46.5 through William Hill. We got a very up-close look at Chicago this past week as Saints fans. And, I mean, not that I put a whole lot of stock in what Troy Aikman has to say, but, boy, was Troy Aikman not shitting all over Chicago?
It was brutal.
He was really shitting all over Chicago this week.
Brutal.
And Tennessee's a solid team.
He was arguing to bring back Trubisky.
He was talking about bringing Trubisky back. Right. And you saw classic Nick Foles. Nick Foles has won a Super Bowl, and he's also just been a perennial, not a guy who always starts out as a starter on your team. Tennessee had a pretty shocking loss last week to Cincinnati. I think Tennessee's a very good football team, and I think Tennessee's a very well-coached football team. And I think Tennessee is going to bounce back in this one.
Their only other loss was to Pittsburgh, so that's
correct.
You know.
Yeah, Tennessee's solid. I'm still, you know, I still have the imprint in my brain of January Tennessee, playoff Tennessee from last year.
Right.
Derrick Henry's just running all over everybody.
And yeah, Tennessee, he's healthy. They're incredible.
Yeah, and they just seem like a fundamentally sound football team, and Chicago feels like the opposite of that. Right. You know, so William Hill has this. Gosh, the line has actually moved a half point since earlier this afternoon. It's back up to six. So Tennessee's a 6-point favorite with a 46.5 over under. I feel very good. I feel very good taking Tennessee and the 6 points here. I get the feeling that things are starting to come to a head in Chicago, and this is a team. They're not necessarily a dumpster fire yet, but like the trash in the bottom of the dumpster is starting to smolder, and it's starting right.
to implode.
It's about to just be a full blown blaze.
Plus, their division is going to be chaotic anyway. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, and this is going to be another good, solid, fun game to watch. So, I absolutely am all over putting a unit on Tennessee minus six here in this game. Next early game, Detroit travels to Minnesota. Interdivision rivalry here. Minnesota opened as a 2.5-point favorite on the strength of them beating the shit out of Green Bay last week. They have grown to a 4-point favorite over Detroit. Your boy, your quarterback, Matthew Stafford has, I think he's leading the NFL in false COVID positives so far this year. He's wound back up on the COVID list, although we don't know if he's a for sure COVID case or not. And so that could influence things severely. Minnesota is very, very up and down, but it appears that when they do have Dalvin Cook and they're not relying on their false messiah quarterback, they can get things done, as evidenced against Green Bay this week.
They looked pretty good last week. Yeah.
They did look good last week. You said you spent some time with this game. The over-under on this game is 52.5. What are your thoughts on Detroit on the road taking on Minnesota, Troy?
The defenses aren't impressive on either side, so I think taking the over is worthwhile.
That's the spirit.
It was 52.5, right?
It's 52.5, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the spirit. I like it when people take the over.
That's the name of the show, right?
That's the name of the show. I'm thinking about just dropping the V and just naming the show Taken Over. Because that, yeah, just kind of things have. I've been so excited and so fortunate at the success, and I'm really glad to be a part of this Dome Patrol United podcast network. We've got an international audience, like I mentioned before. Last week, being out sick, I had complete strangers reach out to me and ask if I was okay, and that's a pretty cool feeling, you know. And also got a little bit of had a very, very preliminary conversation with a legacy media company in the New Orleans metro area that has indicated a small interest in Billy Gunn getting on their traditional airway, not a podcast, the old way of what? Broadcasting where radio waves travel through the air. And I had some folks reach out to me last week to talk about that, and that to me is flattering. I grew up listening to local radio in this market, and it's the concept of me potentially having a show or in some way being affiliated was just mind-blowing. Now, I get the feeling that they would want to compensate me in magic beans, not the good kind, like the kind that Jack and the Beanstalk used, and so that would probably be problematic. But yeah, Detroit, Minnesota.
That's exciting.
That is exciting. There's a lot of exciting things going on. What can I say? Next early game, Baltimore traveling to Indianapolis. Wow, those teams are connected,
yes.
Right? This line blew my mind. Maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe there's something that you can help me catch. Baltimore opened as a 3-point favorite, and they are now a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Over-under opened at 46.5. It's now at 47. Baltimore's very good. Indianapolis
defense is very good.
Indy's defense very is good. very good. as was Pittsburgh's last week, and Baltimore did okay versus them.
That's right. That was a close one. I didn't get to see that, right?
But I saw it. It was. Yeah, I had that one. That one was on up here in the quarantine quarters. And Indy is overachieving this year, but to only be a 2.5 point dog to Baltimore is crazy. There's something about that that's insane to me. I am all about Baltimore minus 2.5 in this game. I could not be more excited to put I don't know. No, I didn't see any injuries. I didn't see any COVID. I didn't see anything crazy. Hollywood Brown talked a little bit of shit on Twitter this week about not getting the ball enough. But just one of the things that Lamar Jackson, I think he's just got this innate leadership ability. How often do you see this? Okay, wide receiver talks shit on Twitter about not getting the ball enough. Lamar Jackson reaches out to him and goes, you know what, you're right. And then he takes the tweet down and everybody's cool. How fucking crazy is that? That doesn't happen. I mean, come on, man. If you can get any of these lines like this, this is less than three. This is less than a field goal. -2.5. I'm all over it. All over Baltimore -2.5. I don't know. There's got to be a mistake with that one.
I like it.
Oh, dude, that's a good one. All right. Next early game. A lot of early games. NFL's been doing this a lot. They give us all these early games. They give us like two or three shitty late afternoon games. Next early game is going to be Carolina on the road taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City opened as a 10-point favorite. They're now 11-point favorites. Over-under on this game opened at 52. It's 52.5 with William Hill right now, which is actually up from about 3 hours ago when I was doing the notes for this show. It was at 52. It's jumped up to 52.5. What are your thoughts on Carolina and Kansas City?
I think the spread's appropriate, but I still like Kansas City. I mean, they're on a three-game win streak, and then, of course, Carolina's on a three-game losing streak. So, you know, you kind of want to root for Teddy Two Gloves still, but I see Kansas City beating the spread.
With the big spread of 11, huh?
Yeah, I still see it.
I'm with you. I'm going to get involved in this game. It looks like Mahomes had one of those classic 400-plus yard, five touchdown games last week. I think he's kind of settling into that, you know, God mode that he has, that God mode gear. I think a lot of points are going to get scored in this game because Carolina can't stop anybody. And this game may signal the return of Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
Who's been out for 6 weeks. And according to our guest from 2 weeks ago on the show, was the 2012 NFL MVP, Christian McCaffrey. But we're not going to hold that against Todd for much longer. Christian McCaffrey could be back. Kansas City is clicking on all cylinders. 11 points scares me. However, I'm all about taking this 52 point over. I think you're going to see a lot of scoring there. Carolina can't stop anybody. Kansas City, all they do is put it up. And I think Carolina, Teddy's going to get in there. Maybe McCaffrey comes back and puts some points up. I think Carolina will uphold their end of the bargain as far as scoring goes. When you see a line that's that big, you know, those points there's going to be a lot of points scored. So I feel very comfortable recommending taking the over on KC Carolina. Next early game, Houston on the road, traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. This game opened with Houston as a 4-point favorite. They have since grown to a 7-point favorite. 7-point road favorite over Jacksonville. The over-under on this game is 51 through William Hill. Troy, what are your thoughts on Houston on the road to Jacksonville?
So when I was looking into this game, I haven't seen Houston play yet. So I looked back at their record just to see how bad they are. But they've lost to Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Green Bay.
Yeah.
They've had a brutal schedule.
But and remember, they had a fucking awful head coach to start the season, too.
That's true. So I like Houston. I think Jacksonville is just bad. Houston is mediocre with a tough schedule.
Yeah. You know? And just they just had a shitty head coach.
Yes.
And we're giving all these reasons why we should probably not take Jacksonville in 7 points. But in an interdivision game like this, I have a very hard time with Houston beating them by 7. I don't know why. I think we're going to go separate ways on this one, because this is another game that I like Jacksonville getting 7 points here. And so I'm going to go with Jacksonville plus 7. And it sounds like we're going to agree to disagree on that one.
Sure. You're the expert.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course I am. I'm the expert. Not on picking football games. I'm an expert on a lot of things, but not this. New York Giants. Interdivision game. 12 o'clock central kickoff against the Washington Redskins. And Washington opened as a 3.5-point favorite. They're now a 2.5-point favorite. Over-under on this game has moved from 43 to 41.5. I feel like I have been more involved with the New York Giants as a gambler lately than is healthy. However, the New York Giants are coming through for me in a lot of situations. This is another interdivision game. Daniel Jones is, I don't know what he is as a quarterback. We saw the Giants in prime time last week playing. Washington, 2.5-point favorites. Riverboat Ron just does ridiculous shit.
I was trying to think earlier, I cannot name a single Washington player.
Well, they have the quarterback who nearly lost his leg.
Does he have a name?
Yes, but he's going to be the comeback player of the year, and he had one of those compound fractures 2 years ago, and he got some dirt in the wound, and he went through like 97. Surgeries to fix it, and his name is Alex Smith.
Oh,
yeah. Now they also have Dwayne Haskins as quarterback, but he's no longer the starter. And then they also Riverboat Ron Rivera brought Kyle Allen with him from Carolina to come play quarterback for them as well. Outside of that, they've got a little bit of a defense. These teams are too shitty to bet on. I can't bet on this game. I gotta stay away from this one.
I don't blame you.
Yeah,
but that over under is pretty low. That's
41.5
of the week, right?
Yeah, and well, I'll tell you what I did last week. Being kind of not amongst the living, and really, I didn't even take a look at the games until like Saturday evening. And my reunited friend and I, my great uncle T and I, he offers 10-point teasers. And so I found a bunch of games that had like 41 and 42-point over unders, and I teased them all down to like 31 and 32, and had a lot of success with that. And if I were to do something, I would probably do that, but staying away from this one. There's no reason to bet on these two teams this week. Las Vegas. All right, so now we're getting to the Sunday afternoon games. Las Vegas Raiders are on the road to take on the LA Chargers. Now, this one is fascinating to me as well. Okay. The Chargers started as a 3-point favorite. This game has since gone down to a pick'em, basically meaning there is no line here. Over under on this game is 52.5. I feel very, very strongly about Las Vegas this year for whatever reason. And I am going to jump all over the opportunity to make this a pick'em and take Vegas. What are your thoughts, Troy, on Vegas and the Chargers?
Yeah, I like it. I like Vegas. I think they're stronger than their record. They're hit or miss, right? So they beat Tampa Bay, right?
They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Kansas City.
They beat New Orleans.
They beat the Saints. A couple weeks back, I called them a landmine. You might just accidentally step on this team and they'll blow your leg off. Like, you don't know what's going to happen with Vegas. They beat the surging Cleveland Browns last week. Gruden's got something going on, man. He's making chicken salad out of this roster. And I can definitely, even though another one of these interdivision rivalries, I could definitely see, especially in a pick'em, can definitely see Vegas taking this one. So all over Vegas as a pick'em here.
Like it.
Next afternoon game. Oh, goodness gracious here. Pittsburgh is on the road traveling to Dallas. Mm. This will probably be the fucking
America's game of the
week.
Yeah,
this will be the Troy Aikman. The Troy Aikman jerks off. What's his name? Troy Aikman jerks off the hair plug guy for 3.5 hour game of the week. Joe Buck. Dallas. Dallas is a 14-point home dog. They're getting 14 at home against Pittsburgh. The over/under on this game is 42. Troy, what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh-Dallas?
I unfortunately haven't gotten to see Pittsburgh play this year. I just know they're good.
They're good.
They're like top five in scoring and I think in scoring defense.
They're doing Pittsburgh things.
Close, yeah.
They're doing Pittsburgh things. They I watched them a good bit last week versus Baltimore. Big Ben throws it all over the field. They've found another receiver that came from out of nowhere and is going to be a star. Mm-hmm. They have a running game like they always do. They're just solid everywhere. And
Dallas is a dumpster fire.
Fucking Dallas is just awful. Now, the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, I believe he's been cleared on his concussion, but now he's on the COVID list. And so I hate to laugh. Because you and I have both battled COVID
in
the last 7 days.
Hot sauce eye.
and the coach shoots hot sauce in his eyes. And they're already like decided that the players don't like the coaches. But like Andy Dalton is gone from the concussion protocol to the COVID list. You know how much that must suck? Like, I mean, because like I said, the thing that I'm really hating about having been on the COVID list myself, it's just these random headaches. Can you imagine going from a concussion and like having to isolate yourself in a dark room and then the next week you've got COVID? And by the way, how the fuck did you catch COVID with a concussion? Was he like, but then again, he's in Texas and, you know, steers and COVID come from Texas and he doesn't look like a cow to me. So, 14-point home dogs are the Cowboys. You mentioned you haven't seen Pittsburgh play a whole lot. I have, and they look good. Now, this game right here is one where I would recommend a 7-point two-way teaser. And the way that it would work is this. And so... and when I first wrote this out, again, this line has bumped up a half point from me looking at it earlier today. So what I would do on this game is I would do a two-way 7-point teaser. What we're going to do is we're going to take that line for Pittsburgh from 14, and we're going to bring it down to 7. Okay? So now Pittsburgh only has to win by 7. And we also have to parlay one other associated bet with that. And that over-under of 42.
Yes.
We bring that down to 35. So now we're doing a two-way 7-point teaser. We move the over, we move the line from 14 to 7. So Pittsburgh only has to beat the hapless Cowboys by 7, which is very believable. And Pittsburgh is scoring on everybody. They're doing a lot of stuff. You don't know how much of that bargain Dallas is going to uphold, but all we got to get to is 35 point there. Two-way 7-point teaser is going to pay about 80 cents on the dollar. So I definitely recommend putting a unit or two on that game in that fashion. Does that make sense, Troy?
I think so. That was a good explanation for the.
That's what we do.
The
man.
Gambling illiterate.
We do gambling explanations on this show. I put money on the presidential election, like a fucking asshole. I found a website.
Well, you're not the only asshole involved with the presidential election.
No, it's nothing but am I surrounded like Rick Moranis in Spaceballs? I feel like I'm surrounded by assholes. I put money on the presidential election, but I didn't just like straight up, you know, Trump's going to win or Trump's going to lose or whatever. I had to get stupid and aggressive with it, and I wagered basically that Trump would win by a margin of between 60 and 99 electoral votes. He'd win by, so, kind of like he did last time.
You felt good last night, but today
I went to bed like this is happening, and it was going to pay 5-1. But I got it at 20 cents on the dollar. And so it was going to pay 5-1. And I went to bed like, oh, this is going to happen. And I woke up and I was like, I wanted to hire Rudy Giuliani to represent me. That was how bad I was feeling. It must have been the COVID fog, but I don't know. I that might be the last time I bet on politics. Miami and Arizona, another afternoon game. Whew, this one's going to be fascinating. So 3:25
decent matchup.
Yeah, decent matchup. Arizona's coming off a bye. Arizona is a 4.5-point favorite here. Over-under on this game is 48. Okay, I watched Miami last week. I had Miami and the Rams, and that was a big part of another teaser that I did. And the Rams ended up fucking me really, really good because they got shellacked by Miami. And even though I had teased it, sometimes when like things that unforeseen happen, it doesn't even matter. And so Miami made me go bust with the Rams' incompetence. Miami scored via special teams. They scored via defense. They scored. They recovered a fumble and brought it to the 1-yard line and then scored. Miami has been beating the shit out of teams. Like folks just kind of wander down to Miami and, you know, don't know what's going on. And then Miami takes their big dicks out and just whacks people over the head with it. And it's, I don't know what's going on. Now, what's scary here is Miami, they're sitting at 3-3, and now they're 4-3 after last week. But they're sitting at 3-3. They've got Fitzmagic as their quarterback. And they're like, ah, fuck it, put the rookie in. You know, let's see what happens. And it's like, you could legitimately make the playoffs this year. And you're just like, ah, fuck it. Just put the rookie and see what happens. And so, I mean, that scares me off Miami a little bit here. Arizona being a 4.5-point favorite, net line has actually grown from 4.5 to 5 in the last 3 hours. So, based on the strength of what I saw out of Miami last, just defense, special teams, they're just mean. Just a mean team in Miami. I like Miami getting 5 points here.
Yeah. Well, Arizona's coming off a bye.
Right? Coming off a bye. Yep.
And they beat Seattle.
They beat Seattle.
Bye.
And they beat they beat Dallas and they have lost to Detroit. They've been up and down.
But
and they are playing
if I'm
at home.
Going with my gut, I agree. I think Miami's scrappy.
Yeah.
Like that.
Miami's scrappy. I just, God, I wish they, I mean, if they put, if Fitzmagic was starting, I'd feel that much better about this. But I'm still with it. Take Miami in 5 points and run with that. Because I think that's going to happen all day long. And actually, like I said, it just dropped. It dropped in the last couple hours. It's dropped to 4.5. I still feel comfortable with Miami getting 4.5 or 5. So, Sunday night football. Now, this is going to be a game. Week one rematch. Our beloved New Orleans Saints on the road taking on Tampa Bay and the Tom Brady's. This game opened with Tampa as a 4.5-point favorite. They're currently 5-point favorites at home. Over-under on this game is 51.5. Now, I get weird about betting on teams where I have an emotional involvement, such as our beloved New Orleans Saints. And Tampa Bay, man, I got to tell you, I don't know if you watched Tampa play on Monday night this past week. The NFL, and I've said this on this show before, and I'm going to keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. The league and the officials are clearly invested in the Tampa Toms having success. There was, if you just watched the last 7 minutes of that football game in real time, some of the most egregious officiating I've ever seen in my life. 2 targeting calls on the final drive for Tampa. One, it was like the Tampa receiver, I think it's Miller, the white guy, like, put his helmet down and he's headed straight at the defender, and the defender doesn't even know what to do. I mean, other the only thing the defender could have done differently was like just run away. But instead he just stood there and received a helmet to helmet hit, and they call the flag on the New York Giants player. It is insanity. Pass interference on the 2-point conversion. A flag is thrown. The 2-point conversion that would have tied the game, and we would have had interference in the end zone. They would have moved the conversion to the 1-yard line. Flag is thrown. Officials confer, pick up the flag, game over. This league is so just in the boat for Tampa and the Toms. And then we know how much they hate the Saints. So yeah. We have a perfect storm of badness that can happen here. I've set the table with all that. Troy, what are your thoughts on Saints and Tampa Bay?
Yeah, this game scares me. Not only do they have to beat Tampa Bay, but like you said, they have to beat the officials.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going with my gut, I think Tampa Bay wins.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily by, what's the spread? 5.5?
5. The spread's 5. Yeah.
I don't know. Like you said, I don't feel good about betting it, being emotionally involved, especially this game.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then now I've made all these great reasons not to bet this game, and now I'm going to completely contradict myself. This is going to be a close game. I don't see this being a 5-point game. I see this being a 3-point game.
I don't either.
I think we're going to get exactly. Fucked by the officials.
Three points to the home team.
Yes, and I think we're going to lose, but I don't think we're going to lose by 5.
That's right. That's
I'm right. All over the Saints getting 5 points here. And so put that one down, NOLA plus 5. The Saints' last 3 games have been determined by 3 points. So...
That's right.
And I don't doubt that there's going to be some absolute fuckery that happens here. And I don't doubt that we're going to be the victim of it, but I don't think we're going to be 5-point victims of it. And so take New Orleans, take the Saints, take the 5 points against my better judgment. Final game of the week, New England Patriots on the road against the hapless New York Jets. This is your Monday night football game. I don't know. They should start flexing these games out at this point. Line opened at 7.5 to New England. It stays at 7 to New England. The over-under is currently 42.5. Cam Newton 2 years ago, not this season, but the season before, to me looked like a guy, and they kept, oh, he has a Lisp Frank injury or he's got a back injury. I think he had a mental illness injury. I really do. I think that, and I don't say that to be flippant because mental illness is a pretty legit thing going around. I think there's something wrong with Cam. Now, his first, like week one and week two in New England, it's like it had disappeared. And he was back to old Cam, and he was doing superhuman athletic things and showing his talent. And in the last couple weeks,
he looks bad lately.
He looks like that guy that just doesn't fucking care. And it's, I've never been a fan of Cam Newton. Obviously, we all have pretty, you and I have attended some Carolina games. we have attended some Carolina Saints games together and just absolutely hated on Cam. And I don't really like Cam Newton very much. I think there's something wrong with him in his head, and I don't like that. But
are we supposed to feel bad for him now?
He
is out of our division, so
he's a human being. I feel bad for him as a human. I feel bad for him.
He does make a lot of money.
That's true. When I was younger, I suffered from, I think, some of the same things that he suffers from. And so I have a little bit of sympathy for that. But good God, I mean, but then the Jets, you know, and this is like, how far has New England fallen? They're 7-point favorites to the Jets. What are your thoughts on this god-awful Monday night game?
I don't know what to do with this. I mean, what do you do with this?
Well, once again, this would be another one. I don't know, because this could be, I would say, you know,
it'd be fun to bet because you have a reason to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love watching Monday Night Football, and I love wagering on Monday Night Football, but Jesus. I mean, I could see New England losing this game straight up. Here's what I do. Here's what we do here. In fact, I just came up with this idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to tease this from 7 to 14. So we're going to give the Jets 14 points. You feel safe with that?
I like it. Yeah.
Cam's not beating anybody by 14 right now, dude.
No.
Cam might not finish this game. He 2 weeks ago, he said he got benched 2 weeks ago, and last week he fumbled on what would have been the game-winning drive at the opponent's 25-yard line. Let's tease the Jets up to 14, and oh God, but I don't even feel comfortable teasing that line down to 30. Then we're going to tease that line down to 35.5, and we're going to take the over. Does that work for you?
The over-under is what?
Over-under is 42.5, but we're going to tease at 7 down to 35.5, and we're going to take the over.
Yeah, okay.
There we go. Monday night. Somebody's like going to score some points. They got to.
Gives you a reason to watch this garbage.
And now you're just rooting for scoring. You're rooting for Cam not to have a mental breakdown on the field, and you're rooting for both teams to score. Yeah. Can you bet? That'll be a prop game. That'll be a player prop that comes out Monday afternoon. Is Cam Newton going to have a meltdown during the game? And that brings us through the week. Like I said, we missed a week last week, obviously due to COVID. Was 1-3 the week before that. We're now at a point where I'm 20-12 on the season. I did, obviously, I placed some wagers this past week, but I didn't publicize them on Twitter or on the show, obviously. Reunited with my great uncle T, great uncle T Bone. The bookie is back in my life, and that's a cool thing. and that allows us to place some in-game wagers. And you and I were talking about that. One of the fun things that we should do before this season ends is you need to come on down to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and we should go spend a Sunday at one of the sports books and do some in-game betting and do some player props day of and just have a good old time. Is that something that something you'd be interested in?
Absolutely. And plus, hopefully, we'll have some immunity.
So well, that's cool. Yeah, that's the other thing about having COVID now is, like, now that we've had COVID, there's no reason to live in fear, right?
That's right.
Like we should be able, they should be able to fill up entire arenas of people like us. Like, if we wanted to go, for example, sit with 70,000 of our closest friends that have also already had COVID in a domed stadium, why can't we do that? We've already had COVID. We're like immune or whatever, you know.
Yeah, give us one of these horrible games.
Yeah,
we can go to New Jersey and watch this Monday night game.
Yeah, like let us tutor Matthew Stafford on how to fail a COVID test or pass or actually have COVID instead of just all getting all these false positives. You know, and that's just like now that we've had COVID, I feel like the world has opened up to me. And I like when I go to the supermarket, I lick the shopping cart. Mm-hmm.
As I do.
And I stare people down without wearing a mask, like even more of an asshole than I did before I had COVID. And I got to tell you, you know, we caught it at a big social event in West Texas 2 weekends ago. And I said this, I think on the Sunday night that we got back, I said this to some people. I said, if I didn't catch COVID this weekend, COVID isn't real. we broke every COVID rule known to man. And by Sunday, and that Monday or Tuesday afternoon, I was sitting there, I was doing some work from home and just felt like ass. And our friend, mutual friend Todd, who was on the show 2 weeks ago, who he and I got stoned with the white supremacist 20 years ago, texted me and was like, "Hey, I just tested positive for COVID." And I was like, awesome, because he and I did everything but fucking make out, you know, that you could do to catch COVID. So,
well, if you hadn't warned me, I wouldn't have known, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was just like tell a friend, tell your other friends, and ultimately, all four of us groomsmen at the wedding got COVID. So, I hope that.
I'm glad catching COVID kind of restored your faith in humanity, you know.
I feel better about humanity having caught it. Now, I got to tell you, like I said, I am very, very angry with our government for, like, I feel like we should at least have done some drone strikes on China. You know, like I feel like we could have at least done some drone strike. Like, hey, you motherfuckers, you, because this is, and again, I don't want to. This would be the last little conversation we have on the show. Does this feel like a naturally occurring virus to you?
I don't fucking know.
Bro, I mean, I'm just like walking through the frozen food section earlier tonight and this headache, get headaches. This headache just hits me.
It feels way more chemical than any illness I've ever had.
It feels like a really smart guy. Yes. It feels like a smart guy in a lab coat. It was like, fucking, I'll show you. So I'm angry at the Chinese,
and but at least you know Fauci's not full of shit, or at least completely full of shit.
I don't know. Well, according to most people that I know, COVID was supposed to go away once the election was over. But now, that since they're still counting the votes, did did COVID get an extension? And so, I don't know. I'm less of a anti-COVID asshole than I was before, now that I've caught it. And I think it'll do that to just about anybody. And I really do think that it's important that you try and be a little bit safe out there, because we clearly were not. And the worst thing that could happen would be to, you know, give it to other people and whatnot. What sucks is, like, I'm clear to walk amongst the living again. My poor daughter that lives with me, she has to quarantine for 14 days, and she didn't even catch it.
Yeah. Is that a Louisiana thing?
Well, I live in Mississippi. That's a school district thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she can't go back to school for another few days. So that's, you know, it just, it's, I don't know, man. It feels like the reactions are perhaps making things worse, but we'll see. We'll see. Now that the election's over, allegedly, according to a lot of people that I know, COVID's going to go away as well. But maybe the lawsuits that are happening associated with the election are extending COVID. So that's what I got, man. I can hear the Coheed and Cambria playing in the background. And so that can only mean one thing. That has to mean that the show is over. Troy, do you have any final thoughts for us this week?
No, I appreciate you having me on. Hope I was helpful.
Yeah. Oh, this was great, man. I love getting to talk to all my buddies on this show, and it was a joy to have you on. You did a great job. It was helpful. You're definitely a knowledgeable football guy. We like I said, we played the same fantasy football league for 20 years. I'm not sure if you've ever won the league, but
once
in 20 years. That's not a bad ratio there. But no, you did great. It was fun talking to you. We'll have to do it again. We're going to have to spend a Sunday in one of these sports books one day before the season gets out. And other than that, I'm going to go ahead and take us home. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Taking the Over, the official sports gambling podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Taking the Over. Subscribe to Dome Patrol United, of course, for all of our great programming on the feed. And that's it for tonight. We'll see you soon. Don't lick shopping carts at the supermarket. And if you can, never travel to West Texas because there's lots of COVID out there. We will see you guys. We'll see you on the other side later. And that's it.